So this is the BioShock Infinite spoiler cast. With me are Mark and George, and we are doing this separately so we don't ruin the game for those of you who have not finished it.
Yep.
So, but if you're listening to this and haven't finished it yet, stop. Stop right now because you desperately want to experience this in-game.
Yeah,
you
also, I just want to, now that we're on the spoiler cast, I want to say Q was entirely right for doubting Mark's inability to not mention spoilery shit.
What did I mention? What did I mention?
You're like, yeah, all the times baptism is used, I want to be like, shut the fuck up.
I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. He already saw baptism. Like, Cammy already
saw baptism. All the times baptism is used.
Oh.
In well, a first person sense.
It could have been like, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, so that's a problem. Yes.
Maybe I'll go do some creative editing to that later.
Well, it's too late for Wes. Wes, if you're listening to this in a couple weeks.
I don't think Wes saw it.
No, yeah. he passed on, but he's probably thinking of something to say or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But basically, okay, holy shit, that ending.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Like, did any... as you were playing through the game, what were you thinking was happening?
Well, it's as you're playing the game, it's different because when you're playing it again, you can start to see the little hints.
Right, and they basically lay that fucking
twist
out
for you.
Yeah, it
is right in the beginning. I was like, holy shit, if I was smarter than I was right now.
Okay, the things I never realized were in this order was that, one, that Booker had a little girl. Two, that Anna was that little girl. And three, of course, that Elizabeth was Anna. Now, all three of those things are right there in the first half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't call Booker being Comstock, but again, that's like the first audio log you find.
Yeah. It's like, who comes out of the baptism? A different man. It's like, yep, that's exactly what happened. The baptism, like, and once again, sorry about the baptism thing, Kami. That was, yeah.
And also the guy who's writing the book is like, yeah, nothing. It's like, he mentioned something about there being no details of Comstock's life. Like he wasn't even, he didn't even exist before his baptism.
Okay. Now explain this to me. Slate. He was the only other guy at Wounded Knee. Yeah. Slate appeared to be convinced that Booker and Comstock were two different people.
Well, Comstock also had cancer and was way older than he should have been. Gotcha. Because of the radiation, the exposure to the tears, he didn't look like the same guy at all.
Okay. But
there's like, if you look through the little trailers, there's pictures of Comstock that, like, he looked exactly like Booker but with white hair, and I can see why they changed the design, because that basically gives that twist away.
Yeah. Also, you know, when he knew Booker, he wasn't a fucking crazy religious zealot.
Yeah. Also, Slate's probably seen enough shit that he does. Like, he probably just can't tell the difference.
He's also crazy as balls.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm trying to figure, because I hadn't gone to play that sequence through yet. What I'd be interested in knowing if Slate was in on the joke. Like,
no.
if Slate knew and he's just like, oh, this is Booker. Booker's back. Booker's here to kill us. So you don't think that he ever knew?
He had no fucking idea.
I doubt he had any concept of there being more than one Booker DeWitt.
Because the reason he was furious is because he thought Comstock wasn't at Wounded Knee. So if he knew that Comstock was at Wounded Knee, he wouldn't have had a problem.
Which is actually, I think, probably one of the best aspects of this twist.
Yeah.
That Comstock, he took credit for all the stuff Booker DeWitt wanted to forget.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that before, but you're right. Yeah, he wanted to just totally ignore Wounded Knee. His entire life was running away from what happened at Wounded Knee, and Comstock was just an acceptance of that, which I guess makes sense because Comstock is like the twisted version of Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah, which says a lot of creepy shit about religion when you think about it.
Yeah.
It does. Here's my question. At what point was Anna born? Like, was she born before or after the baptism?
That's intentionally vague.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have to assume, like, she was born in the timeline where Booker did not accept the baptism, I think.
Okay, because I couldn't tell, like, was Booker, his baptism, something atoned for selling Anna or just to atone for Wounded Knee? And in that case, did, like, the whole Anna thing come after he became a drunk and was just sitting there and just gambling?
It had to be after... Anna had to be born after the baptism, because if she was born before the baptism, Comstock would have had a daughter.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and then
like
drowning Booker would have done nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, and you're right.
Yeah, the main sad thing is at the ending isn't that Booker is dying, but you're essentially killing Elizabeth forever.
Well, you're killing Elizabeth. You're not killing Anna.
Yeah, Anna still lives, but Elizabeth is dead as shit.
Yes. Which is, I mean, there's nothing. That's the way you prevent the world from ending.
Yeah. Unless she does some wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey shit. Like, I assume Lutesses are, like, outside of time at this point.
Well, she becomes basically a Time Lord all because the tip of her pinky was missing.
Well, she exists. Which,
again, like, how did they have that in the beginning, and how did I not notice? I feel so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she says, like, the universe doesn't like it, says peas mixed with its porridge.
She explicitly says a little piece of her is back where she came from, and I was like, maybe it's, like, her soul or something? Is she an alien? I don't know.
I assume it was talking about, like, her and her mother thing, that, like, ghost that was running around, because that's when you hear it, when, like, that first comes up.
Well, also,
and she's,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, she was saying, like, oh, that's part me, part of my feelings as well. So I'm like, oh, that's must be what it means.
Well, also, like, the only, like, thing that came back, that stayed in 1980, well, when would it have been? Like, in 1912 or something when it happened?
Yeah.
But the thing that stayed back was the tip of her pinky. And, like, it shows off as her thumb, as the thimble. But there was a sequence before that where you could see, like, this horrible, like, operating table. So I just assumed that they took the tip of her pinky off then so they could have, I don't know, some kind of cloning or whatever.
Yeah, I figured they took it for genetic testing or something because it had, like, her period blood and other crazy shit. Yeah. And I was like,
okay.
Like, the way that was all set up, like, I didn't understand it the first time I went through. I was like, I don't understand what all of this is about.
It was a puzzle.
When I actually went through, it was like, oh, they're measuring her power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, they're showing, like, different versions of these things that she was close to. Like, in one version of that teddy bear, you can, like, zap it, and it becomes red. So my thinking is, like, that's a different version of that teddy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were draining her power from very early on.
Yeah, because apparently she was able to, like, just open up tears at will. And it's, oh shit, we need to do something about this.
I do like that once she's 13, they ban everybody from actually going into the tower.
Yeah.
Because I guess what Comstock feared is that she's going to grow attached to somebody.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just those really simple things that, like, you look at and, like, they don't make any sense, and no one ever calls attention to any of this stuff.
Well, there was also that on that chart, there was that spike of power when she was 13. So as soon as she, like, hit puberty or, like, had her first period, it's like, then it just blew up. So they had to get everyone away from her or she would do. And that's the weird part about it, because you saw all these horrible warnings, like, yeah, don't step beyond this. You have eight hour, like, quarantine, or, like, past this is 12 hour, past this is 72 hour. And it's just like this cute little kid, she couldn't hurt anything if she tried, and this is what you guys were so terrified of. It's like she's infectious or anything.
I love the symbolism in the tower that, like, you know, they make you go there and see Elizabeth through these windows.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's giving Booker the daughter he never had, because you're basically watching her like a father would through, like, a hospital thing.
Yeah.
Like, seeing all those babies, but you're seeing an accelerated version of her growing up.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
On the note of, I had one moment in the Comstock house when, like, given how Elizabeth is through most of the game, like, you know, when they're operating on her while she's fucking still in a corset for some reason.
Yeah.
I was going through, and I reflexively just shot the hell out of the scientist by the levers, and I was like, ooh, is Elizabeth going to be mad at me for that? And then she opened her tear, and I was like, nope, she's cool with this.
Yeah, that was probably the high point in that game where she opened up the tear into, like, Kansas.
Yeah.
And that's fucking so great. Good. Yeah. It's like, fuck you. Like, that was, like, one of the very few instances in a video game where I was going, like, fuck yes, fuck this. This is awesome. It's like, I was, whatever else the game did from that point on, I was totally on board with.
Also,
so I don't know if people, like, have,
sorry, go ahead.
Like, they saw me posting this about this before, but I've been listening to the supposed Death Cry a Songbird a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been trying, like, basically studying it. I put in an audio editing programs. It is the exact same length. It's the exact same pitch. It is literally the exact same sound.
My question is,
why would that be in BioShock?
Here's my question, though. Like, okay, you hear that at that point in Fort Frolic. Do we hear that noise just as, like, a random, like squelching noise? Like, if I heard that in BioShock, I would just assume, okay, this is just a noise pressure in the city causing this noise. Like, does that noise show up? Is that the only point where it shows up? Is in point four?
From what people have said, it is the only shows up in that one scene at Fort Frolic.
Okay.
And, like, I've watched other videos where he's not using plasmids, and the same sound right there.
The only explanation I can come up with is they patched it in way early in the development, like when they were still actually patching BioShock. And they were just like, let's put this tiny little sound file, let's fuck with people.
Yeah, if they did, like, however they did it, as long as, like, there's some intention there, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't really, of course, there's so much, like, weird noises going on inside, like, BioShock to begin with. It's like, you can't really say, oh, what was that weird noise in Fort Frolic? So you can't really, like, pinpoint to 2006 when the game first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to say that Songbird is the best use of some, like, an insurmountable thing. Most games, like, I was thinking of, like, other games where they build up some figure, like, oh, he's just death, like, you'll never, and then you eventually fight them, they're always underwhelming. I love that Songbird was just, if you fight him, you will lose.
That they didn't let you fight him is probably a great design decision.
It was the perfect thing to do.
And, you know, aside from the point where you have to fight Ghost Mom, like, you never fight any of those guys that they have this huge lead up to. Like, Slate, you never actually kill him.
I killed him.
You actually killed I couldn't figure out if I killed him or, like, I just kept chasing him and eventually I just come across his dead body.
No, that's the thing. Like, there you choose to spare him or, you know, kill him there.
Okay.
But if you do spare him, you see him later in the prison.
Yeah.
And he's been, like, lobotomized.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember that. What I mentioned is, like, okay, in that sequence, like, where like, you're fighting off his crew, like, you're chasing him the entire time. What I'm trying to figure out is, like, do you actually damage him at that? Okay.
Yeah. You can shoot him, and it'll make him go away faster, but he'll not die.
Yeah, so you're not actually fighting him. It's basically just, like, like a cutscene. So,
yeah.
And, like, they don't do that. Like, you never fight Daisy Fitzroy. You never actually... You never kill Comstock.
Yeah.
Well, technically, you kill him. But, like, there was no point where, like, Comstock says, ah, fuck you, and, like, he shows up in, like, a power suit or some bullshit, or, like, he drinks, like, a plasmid and he turns into, like, fiery Comstock.
BioShock.
Yeah, it's, fuck you. It's like, and then there's just, like, this incredibly intimate little moment where you just fucking put his head in a bird bath and you're dead, bitch. And And in retrospect, it kind of makes Ghost Mom, like, kind of be, like, kind of a weird little moment. That was the only boss fight in the game.
The idea of infinitely respawning enemies, even on hard, like, she is the one reason why I will never play 1999. Because even on hard, I did not have enough ammo to deal with her and the things. I had to specifically ignore all the ghosts and just shoot the shit out of her, or else I was guaranteed to die.
I think
that's why it was nice to have, like, upgraded Devil's Kiss. Because basically you throw a couple of those and everything dies.
Even then on hard, you need to throw more than one and you will just run out, like, instantly. The only way I did it was on the second and third ones, there's shops by her.
Yeah.
So I just went, bought all the rockets I could, shot like 9 rockets at her, went back, bought 9 more rockets, went back, shot 9 more. Because if I tried to fight her legit, like, I would take the 9 years it took to kill a spongy, like, armor dude, because I couldn't, like, I didn't have the time to sit there and aim for his head, so I needed to just spam shots.
That might
and
be
by the
like...
time he died, she would just revive him again. I'd be like, oh, great. Or I'd use possession, and my AoEs from, like, anything I tried to hit with anything else would unfriendly him or do something and it wouldn't work for long, and it was just a pain in the ass.
Now, on normal, like, she just summoned, like regular little cops. You're saying, like, on, like, the, like, hard, she, like, she can...
She summons female soldiers with hand cannons. She summons armored dudes with volley guns.
Okay.
And just other stuff, and it's just a pain. She never summons anything like handymen or firemen.
Okay. Okay,
regular units that are armored.
Okay.
It's weird because I don't think that bosses would have been a good idea for this game, but at the same time, I got a little tired of the here's a bunch of waves of enemies stuff.
That's basically all the world, and, like, the final sequence was just one huge sequence of that.
Yeah. Which I lost once because I didn't understand what the hell was going on.
Yeah, they don't explain it very well. And, like, all you people said, oh, there's a life bar on it. It's like, yeah, well, you failed it the first time too, didn't you?
Like, you don't know what it is they're hitting.
I passed it the first time, asshole, on hard.
Lie. You lie.
I had a magic pixel of health left. I couldn't even see the HP bar. When the sequence ended, I was like, thank God.
What's weird, they don't even have, like, a fail state cutscene for it. Nope. Like, it goes to a blank screen. It's like, oh, you failed. Yeah, we're restarting you.
Yeah,
I figured it would like crash or explode or something.
Nope. It just says you failed. Yeah, the core is exploded or something. And that's the only indication I ever had that what was going on. Like at that point, said, oh, okay, I got to protect the core, and it wasn't that
difficult. You mean besides the units swarming around this gigantic blue? No,
I thought it was something weird with the AI. I couldn't tell. Maybe they're just being dumb. That can happen. That's it.
The part about that, I really didn't like.
Bad at games.
Like, for some reason, something would show up as targetable for Songbird.
Yeah.
And I'd, like, be mashing F, and it'd be like, nope. And, like, Booker would just be telling Elizabeth to get these other tears somewhere else.
Yeah. It would do that. Like that one button does too much stuff. It's like an Xbox control, like, that's the blue button. And that's reload. That's tell Elizabeth to open up a tear, and that's also tell Songbird to do whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like three different things. But
to be honest, I was really bored from everything from when Elizabeth leaves the ship when she realizes you're not going to Paris, like the Daisy Fitzroy stuff on through the Chang Lin stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that was all, like, not very good design.
It was confusing because to this day I have no idea exactly what universe we wound up in. Because apparently, like, the universe we're in, we inhabit, that the final tear she opens up, Booker is dead. The martyr. And
that's not the final tear.
Yeah, that was the final tear, right?
No, it isn't.
That was the tear when...
Also a tear when you enter Comstock House, when you enter the fucked up world.
Yeah.
And then after that, Elizabeth in the fucked up world sends you back to the original world.
Yeah, there was a point where you're crossing a bridge after Songbird has taken Elizabeth.
Okay.
Most normal universes, Songbird would have killed Booker there.
Yeah.
But she tears you into the 1985 asylum of Comstock House.
But that's like, but that was the final tear in Finton. Like, up to that point, Booker was dead. Booker was martyred. And, Elizabeth was never actually inside that universe.
I think part of it is I didn't know Cheng Lin well enough to care if he died. I didn't know Daisy Fitzroy enough to care that she now thinks I'm a villain.
The thing they should have played up, which I guess they couldn't at that point because it wasn't the part of her mom yet, but once they explain how her mom works and how her tears involve what she's thinking, when I first played through, I was like, wow, they're making Daisy kind of crazy bitch when she should have been cool. Like, she's fighting the good fight. But then thinking back on it, I was like, oh, Elizabeth was thinking about the French Revolution. So she just replaced one tyrant with another tyrant. So she kind of screwed everything over while she was thinking about it. And they really should have explained that, because the fact that she makes Daisy into a villain is a much better thing to be emotional about than Chen Lin dying.
And then she had to kill Daisy herself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because Booker was the only one who was ever clued into it, and Booker was just a cynical asshole because what else happened to her.
When you listen to her logs, Daisy's like okay. And when you talk to her, she's demanding, but she's okay. And then in that tear, she's like this crazy villain, like twirling her mustache, like, I'm going to kill all the children.
I really like how once Fink rebukes Elizabeth, he says, I don't want her, I want you, Booker. And she, does whatever thing. He stops becoming important in the story because none of the tears involve Elizabeth caring about him at all.
Yeah. Elizabeth emoting is she has the best animations.
Yeah. Yeah, the point where you bring her to the dock and she just starts dancing. I literally just sat there and watched for 5 minutes.
Pervert.
Times where there's a little bit of dissonance there, right after you first kill those people in the train station and she freaks out and runs away.
Yeah.
I was killing civilians left and right just for the hell of it, and she doesn't care at all.
I wasn't. When did you kill civilians?
There was a guy in a ticket booth. I'm like, he was sort of giving me the stink eye, so I was like, whatever, shoot him.
And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, huh.
Did you get your hand stabbed?
Yeah, I got my hand stabbed.
My next playthrough, I pulled a gun on him, and I figured that the game would just stab me anyway, but you can actually go through without a bandaged hand. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well,
that's actually an interesting... It's one of the variables in the game. If you see... At the end of the game, when you see Elizabeth and Booker, the alternate ones, walking along the pier, if you don't have the hand bandage, he will.
Oh, that's cool. Now, there was also a thing where, she shows you the two lockets that Rosalind and Robert are showing here for whatever insane reason. Rosalind and Robert do anything. They show you the bird brooch and the cage brooch. Like, do we know what that has any variable, or is just something
alternate? Elizabeth wears the other one.
Yeah, her she wears it on her neck the entire game.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
No, I'm saying the alternate Elizabeth.
No,
wears
but I mean,
that one.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
do anything to the game's story? Is
yeah, okay. None of the choices actually matter except to show you that choices don't matter.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, if you would have chosen, if you were a monster and you threw the baseball at the couple instead of at the Barker, that wouldn't have made a difference.
No, that instead of them giving you the gear, one of Fitch's guys gives it to you.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. Sorry. That's actually kind of interesting because that was the big aside from like the final boss sequence, that was the big disappointment people had with BioShock 1 was the fact that the moral choices were kind of bullshit.
Right. Well, what BioShock 1 is, the whole thing is a man obeys.
Yeah.
Like the whole point of that game is that a voice on the radio tells you to do shit, and since it's a video game, you do it.
Yeah.
And this one, you're given choices, so you think, oh, this must matter somehow. But it doesn't. Everything just creates its own universe.
Yeah. That's another thing about the ending. We're revealed that BioShock exists in the multiverse. Now, I'm not sure if this is happening specifically because of Elizabeth, or this is just a side effect of the BioShock universe. And it's revealed that Rapture happens, and like there's just an infinite number of these lighthouses. My question is, we know that we killed Elizabeth in this time zone. Is there another time frame where Elizabeth is actually alive and like the events on Columbia still happen somehow or another? And like, I know there was the asylum timeline where she goes and blows up New York City in 1984, but is there one where Elizabeth is still having her adventures? Like, is there one where like good Elizabeth is alive?
I think anything that has to do with Columbia is just gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's all Comstock.
And she makes a point in saying that since she can control, she can see every single door, that she is drowning Comstock in every possible timeline.
Now, my other question is, she can see every other door. Did she create this multiverse? Like, does the multiverse shut down because she shuts everything else down?
No, she can
I don't think she created it.
She can just see the doors.
Okay.
Like, there's one small thing that shows that she's not like this omnipotent thing, that there's clearly a level above her.
Okay.
Is that when she tries to open the Rapture door, she can't. Like, somebody just gives her a key.
Oh, that's a good point. That's right. So, yeah. So, like, the entire, like, basis of, like, there being one man, one lighthouse, and a city, that still exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, when you think about it, it kind of throws BioShock 2 under the bus a little.
I can't remember much about it. Which was, how was that due to BioShock 2?
No lighthouse.
2?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Huh.
But yeah, I love them using that, because I know a lot of people, me included, were like, "How the fuck does BioShock work without Rapture?" And I love this new definition of them just saying, "This is what BioShock is, and this is what it's going to be if we touch it again."
Yeah, BioShock can be anything, but as long as it fits this vague template, we can go whatever the hell we want with
it. Now, there was some still other like vague template-y things from the two games, because there's still going to be like a workers' revolution at some point that just completely destroys Utopia. I don't know if that always happens in BioShock.
Well, BioShock 1 wasn't so much a worker rebellion, so much as like,
well,
that was a lot more twisted politics than Infinite is. Like, there was the manipulation. There was artists. There were scientists that wanted to do good instead of go doing it for profit and all that other crazy shit.
I wonder if
Infinite, I think, was actually really simple politically.
Yeah.
Just everybody worshiped Zachary Comstock, and he crashed that car into the pool.
Yeah.
So
with Andrew Ryan, it was like everybody hated him eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that that the game played with was trying to convince you that maybe Comstock really can see the future. Can he see the future, or is the only part in the future he was able to see was that point where he goes back and pulls Anna back out and creates Elizabeth?
The way I interpreted this was that Comstock got baptized and he became Comstock, and then at some point Elizabeth, realizing Elizabeth somehow existed, and she brought New York down to its fiery knees, so she went back in time and she told Comstock exactly what needed to happen to arrange it so Booker would eventually get to that point.
They mention it, I forget who mentions it. It might be Elizabeth, but she mentions that Comstock, oh no, it was Lutece, and one other thing is that instead of seeing the what's going to happen or prophecy, that Comstock somehow saw one vision of a possible future and decided that must be the future. And everything is working against that to stop his future from coming.
What throws me off is that he mentions an archangel telling him about this stuff, which that's the only way I can interpret it is that it's Elizabeth.
Or the Lucrets, maybe.
Lutessus. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Either that or time is just weird. Yeah. Because I think Lutessus is studying all this stuff before Elizabeth even happens. So
yeah, it's one of those time travel stories that like it has to exist to happen.
Yeah.
Well, also, Lutess was messing with these quantum mechanics before Elizabeth. Elizabeth is just the holy grail of quantum mechanics. Like she was messing with this stuff, like talking to her brother before Elizabeth comes along. And then once Elizabeth's there, she's like, "Oh, I have the answers. I have all this energy I can work with. I can have all this."
Yeah. Well, it's entirely possible the all the events in Bioshock Infinite, like leading up to like the creation of Comstock and DeWitt and Columbia, was just an experiment by Rosalind and Robert. Like that was the entire point to see what would happen at this point.
Well, if they,
I think
if,
at some point they wanted to fix it.
If that was the point, they probably wouldn't have let themselves die.
Yeah. Well, they didn't die. They just exited the time stream.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that they saw that this was, because they can see everything that happens. Like if you sit there and let them talk this, they'll tell you exactly what Booker is going to do.
But they make mistakes too. Like with the very first 5 minutes of the game, you go into the lighthouse and you see the guy dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From what I've gathered from that is there was a point where Zachary Comstock put someone in there to get the drop on Booker, and they succeeded. So the next time the Booker you're playing, the Lutessus have already killed that guy.
Yeah, it could be like they just let timelines play out and they just go back and fix them.
Someone counted the check marks on the heads and assumed that there was like something like 122 Bookers before you.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's how that's why the first joke plays out where it's like, no, he doesn't row. I've asked him 120 times already. He just doesn't.
Yeah, and if you sit there in the boat, she'll say he's not moving. He does. I suppose he does.
They're actually like those are fantastically well written characters. Like I enjoyed every time I saw them.
It's awesome because you enjoy them the first time through because you're wacky in just the right way, and then the second time through you're in on their joke, and it's like so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that lady with the baseballs at the very start, you know, the lady who like basically forces you to pick up the ball that says 77.
Yeah.
Who is she? Is she like Comstock's agents? Because she shows up a couple of times.
Yeah, she's the girl that called Elizabeth Anna.
Yeah. And she also is, before the baseball scene, like you can go to this little flower shop and she like points out to you, say, do you want to wear a corset? It would look very lovely on you. But you refuse a corset.
This is the problem with Bioshock games in that they reuse models in both games to an extraordinary degree.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes it's very
quantum mechanics. It gets like fuzzy.
The priest Witter, or I think his name is Witter, that he's the one who baptized Booker DeWitt and made him Zachary Comstock, and he's also the one who baptizes you at the beginning of the game.
There's also the Elizabeth thing of the brain going through this, just filling in answers.
Yeah.
So we could say that when he goes back to remember his baptism, that he's filling in these answers himself, even though his memory is already fuzzy.
But he picked up, or the priest himself aged quite a bit and was now blind.
Huh. Yeah, he was cataracts, that's right.
I think that's definitely a case of cops not just going, hey, you're the priest that baptized me.
Man, that guy's going to be old as shit.
Well, it's not that old. Like, Booker has not age that much.
The time of Columbia is really, Booker's been alive a long ass time.
Like assuming he was 20 during the wounded knee, like he's probably around 40 during Columbia.
Don't they mention that America prepared Columbia for like 80 years before it launched into the sky?
I never heard that because there was.
Well, it had to have been long enough for Latouche to have been alive.
Yeah,
because she was the one who made it.
Yeah, because like there's one of those little Viewmaster things that basically says that Latouche was the one that created the propulsion system. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, but there had to be a city.
Yeah, they built it, but she wasn't like just hanging around for 80 years. But you know, she can do whatever because she can go through time. So.
Well, they mention her not aging, don't they?
Do they? I don't recall.
I don't remember. Maybe I'm messed up. But the timeline of building Columbia is a bit video gamey and just like, a lot of crazy shit happened in like years.
Well, the Columbia was unveiled for the Columbia Expedition.
Well, Booker says he had never heard of it, and that most people probably haven't.
Well, because of his timeline, he never became Comstock.
Yeah, so it never existed.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Someone explained...
Which, again, the amount of shit they tell you upright. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's genius, the little things that they put in there. And for all the convoluted things that are going on, the different timelines, the different universes, like, of course, there are going to be mistakes, because anytime you create this sort of story, you can't cover all your bases. But for the most part, it's consistent. Like, you can't point to one glaring issue, like, in this game. Like, you can't pick it apart like you can, like, say, like, Moon or whatever.
To go back a little bit, like, about the baseball girl, are baseball symbolic of anything besides just, like, America?
They reuse a lot of shit in the game. Like, if you go and count the bees that exist in the game, it is ridiculous they never became a plot point.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, occasionally you'll see the Latusas, like, juggling baseballs or, like, literally playing baseball above a skyship.
It could entirely be that baseball is the only pastime on Columbia.
Yeah. And also, they seriously reuse a lot of stuff. Like, I expected bees to be, like, the way Vigors came about or something. Kind of like how slugs were Adam. Because there were so many bees in that game.
I never noticed. Like the insect bees? Like, what do you mean?
The first time Elizabeth opens a tear for Booker specifically to show him, she's letting a bee out.
That's right.
Fink compares workers to bees a lot of the time. When you go through the very first part of the game, the Barbershop Quartet has a sign with a giant bee on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Just a lot of shit.
I hadn't considered it before, but that songbird that comes into that first tear, is that the songbird, like, from that dimension, or is it, like, totally different?
It could be an entirely different one. I mean, she could have just opened up a tear, like, 20 feet away, or most likely that's an entirely different songbird.
I think the songbird in the original universe actually dies. Because when you go into the water, you see songbird crack and, like, leak oil and shit.
Yeah.
So I think she actually accidentally revives songbird through her affections when she's opening tears for Chen Lin.
She might. But you were talking about the bees thing. The entire arc of, like, of Comstock and his, basically his cult, it's basically Mormonism. And Mormonism, one of the symbols that they have is the bee. So it could be a little symbology going on there.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I forget exactly what it is. I may be talking about my own ass, but there is a lot of bee symbology in Mormonism. Like, just like industriousness and stuff like that. So, could be that.
Game is so good! Like, I don't understand, like, how they made a game this good.
But we talked about about baptisms before I horribly
good job. That. Oh my god! Wait, but before we go into this, I was talking on Vent with someone about Bioshock, and I was talking with Tram, and Tram was like, "I don't know, maybe I should finish Bioshock 1 because he only got to like Empire Arcadia or whatever."
Mm-hmm.
Empire Arcadia—that's a thing. But the Arcadia place.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was like, oh, all you need to do is play the first 10 minutes, then parts of Bioshock will be really rewarding for you. And I message him on Steam like, shut the fuck up.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you doing that?
God. Yeah, I was like, I will kill you.
Reveals everything, you jackass. But baptisms, super creepy. And I never went through a baptism myself, but I've seen them happen. I've like seen people accept baptisms and just the whole thing where like you have this community pressuring you into this thing and just...
Well, you're basically saying, hey, drown yourself. We promise it'll be okay.
It's kind of like that because you are trusting like this one guy not to kill you. Now
you're trusting that they're not going to keep your head down for too long.
Now that's,
and that's fucking frightening.
Now, that's specifically the Baptist form of baptism. Like the Lutheran baptism, they just sprinkle water on you because they're pussies and they don't actually want to drown you. But this is actually the Baptist form of baptism, but it's just the very cultish like thing where there's brother, just accept the word, brother, accept the word of Christ, brother, and all this thing. Oh, just go on with it. And it's just that part of it has always creeped me out. And this game just touched on something that I like kind of like forgot about for like decades, and just it brought back out again. It's like, oh God, I hated every last bit of this. And it's just amazing that they touched on this. They touched on this very specific part of Americana that isn't really isn't viewed a lot, because you actually have to be a church-going member of American society, specifically this one branch of church-going American society. And not to be stereotypical about this, you don't really see video game designers be inside that little group. So they had to have, like, I don't know if Levine was clued in on this or, like, somebody else from the team was clued in on it. But somebody there was to have got it to that degree. Someone had to take that experience.
It's not very hard, like, you know, in our generation to grow up with mm-hmm. this stuff around you and then, like, you grow out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up, you know, Greek Orthodox. There's a lot of, you know, weird shit people do. And, you know, I don't really follow now, but if I remember to make a Greek Orthodox name, I'm like, yeah, I can make some creepy-ass shit. Everything is creepy when it comes to religion.
Yeah. I was, like, generally unnerved at that last scene where they're drowning Booker, and for the first 2 seconds he's struggling because that's what you do when someone tries to drown you, like mm-hmm. instinct kicks in, you struggle, and then as he starts realizing this has to happen and he just sort of gives up, and like you can see like the bubbles coming from his nose,
on
the front of the camera. So messed up,
and it's just like,
and this is daughter that does it. So explain the nosebleeds, like that has to be related to something because everyone's
paying attention in this game?
I'm just it's the first time you play through it, you don't really notice it. Like you don't.
Yeah,
really,
you do.
They call the nosebleeds out several.
Yeah,
times.
Yeah, I know. But what are they related
says,
to?
Like, because okay, when you kill Comstock, Elizabeth's like your nose is bleeding, and
but
then
your
when
nose,
you
your
and
nose
then
before
shut
then,
up, though. Shut up. Then when you go for another like 5 minutes in the game. Lutesses explain, like, when you're going through, like, the kidnap of Anna, they're like, yeah, whenever your brain fills in answers and, like, makes up excuses, you get a nosebleed.
Okay, but
I do like the parallel with the nosebleed when he bashes Comstock's head in.
Yeah.
He breaks his nose.
But there was a sequence before that, like, when you first meet Comstock.
Yeah, like, but I mean, like, when you see yourself, when he sees Comstock, yes, his brain has to go, that's not me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They basically, like, early on, they think it's just when something's not right, your nose bleeds. And that's, I mean, more or less, that's basically how it works.
Okay.
Like, when Cheng Lin, you first meet him after he dies, it's like, well, I can't really exist in this world, so my nose is bleeding.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, when you're met with the reality that you're, like, in two different timelines.
That, or you're making excuses, like when Booker realizes he's dead, he has a nosebleed, or when he was kidnapped on the boat, he has a nosebleed, and they're like, oh, his brain's filling in the answers right now. That's just your brain working overtime to fill in quantum bullshit. Which they explained outright in a very slow sequence.
I think one good subtle thing was when Cheng Lin, you go into a different universe, and in this universe, he's not married to a Chinese woman. He's married to a white woman.
Yeah.
And that's the universe where he's freed, because she has friends. Like, she has the power to get him okay.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, I was kind of disappointed that they did all this racism stuff and then that wasn't the main focus of the game. But on the other hand, I like that people are okay with setting something in a period piece and then being honest about that period.
Yeah. I think if Booker was like, I'm the hero of race, that would have been really eye-rolling.
Yeah, but Booker, like, he never really addresses it, but like there was like a couple points where like you stumble upon a black guy who's like smoking a cigarette and he's like, oh, I had no idea. Somebody just gave me this cigarette. I'm so sorry. Bruce says, what the fuck, I already smoke. I don't care.
Yeah.
And like that's really the only thing he does. He never says, oh, I hate racists. This is terrible. Or I hate people who hate Jews. He never says that. He's just there to do his job.
He's not there to defeat Comstock for social justice.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Like, like there's different houses you can go into in Colombia, and like they want to attack you. And I say, don't worry, I'm a progressive.
Yeah.
So he doesn't kill you. That's like, great. All right.
So there's a house or a building in Colombia where if you go in, you hear this woman talking like about an anarchist.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, and she's drawing up a description of him for the police sketchers.
Oh.
Half the time, or not half the time, it's about a 60-40 split, I think, that it'll be just some guy with a beard that kind of looks like Booker, but she's incompetent.
Yes.
The other times, it's Andrew Ryan.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I only looked at the one time. I didn't realize. Wow.
I love that the only reason to go into that house is just to kill everybody. Like, there's no reason to be there other than just shooting everyone in the house.
But there's a couple of things to get.
Yeah, but it's like 10 bucks and like a health kit.
Yeah, it's not. There's not an infusion. There's not It's not gear in there or anything. It's like, yeah. It's literally, you're just going in there to watch the sequence and kill everyone. There's a couple little places like that. And it's like, you because games are so expensive to make now, you don't really see a lot of fluff. It's really a testament to their craft that they were willing to sit there and make these games that, like, little parts that, like, 90% of the populace probably would never see.
Yeah. Also, I ended up, I thought I wasn't going, but there's, like, one character that's kind of like a Great White Hunter sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where, first off, it really, if you're not picking up his audio logs, there's a point where you come across a board of scalps, like, just posted up.
Yeah.
And it is very easy to assume the Vox has just started scalping people.
That's what I assumed too, because it said like Comstock, like, you're next or something.
There's one Great White Hunter kind of dude who, like, is also, like, from Wounded Knee and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he has that kind of, like, you know, the white engine sort of thing.
Yeah, and
there's, like, a few logs you find of him, like, he set up bear traps for Daisy Fitzroy and stuff, and he, like, caught a one of the kids she was using, and, like, he had to, like, mentally decide himself if he's gonna be enough of a racist monster to kill a child in a bear trap, or to, like, try to understand their point of view. And from there on, he actually joins Daisy, or is at least decided to kill Comstock first.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I heard one of his. Like,
yeah.
Booker DeWitt convinced him to come over to their side.
That was, yeah, after the terror, yeah.
So he is scalping people and is like, Comstock, your scalp is next.
But that needs to be the DLC.
If you don't pick up that log, it looks like the Vox have just gone batshit.
Yeah. In fairness, they have gone pretty batshit.
They went batshit, but that's probably Elizabeth's fault, but they went batshit.
Yeah, but not like scalping batshit. Like, there's levels. Like, they'll just shoot you. That's nice compared to scalping.
I don't know. Like, Daisy is willing to, like, just stab this kid for no reason.
But
that's pretty
bad.
She's
also right. Like, you know,
killing kids, yes, you're right.
Yeah, no, Elizabeth is like, oh, you know, grabbing people by the root, that's terrible. But then in the end, it's like, so we kind of got to kill Comstock by grabbing him at the root.
And then she has to basically wipe out a generation's existence.
Yeah. Daisy was right.
Daisy was probably right. That's the lesson here. Daisy was right.
So did Daisy, she didn't actually kill Lady Comstock, right?
No,
they just framed her.
Comstock killed her because she wasn't going to sit there and, like, keep Anna a secret. Like, she wasn't going to say, yeah, this baby was only inside me for a week, and then it was around. No, they had to kill her, and Daisy was the patsy. And then he had to kill Rosalind and Robert because he can't leave any fucking witnesses behind. And one can only assume at some point he was going to have to kill Fink as well.
She killed Rosalind and Robert, or she had them killed. Because she thought that Rosalind was actually Anna's mother.
I thought Comstock.
No, Comstock had them killed.
No, there's an audio or voxophone where she's hiring Fink to do it.
But
she did it. Okay.
Then multiple people were doing it because there's also an audio log from a guy from Comstock saying he'll need to deal with the Lutesses.
What could
so
be the
everyone Lutesses. Is trying to kill them.
Yeah, no wonder they had to leave the timeline. It's like, fuck, everyone's trying to kill us. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, she was bribing Fink with, she was going to give all of the Lutesses' patents to Fink if he made it look like an accident.
I actually missed that one. I got the other one.
I think it was like in the burning building in when you're looking for her three tears.
Yeah, that's another one of the weird things about this game. It's like so much in the game is on those audio files, and most of them are completely hidden. Like when I went through it the first time, there's like 80 you can find. I found 50.
I never found
really
a single.
Bad at this game.
They're hidden. What can I do?
I
never bothered to translate.
Out of 80.
Well, you're anal.
I never bothered to translate any of the Vox Populi stuff. Was that actually story important?
No,
you get like 2 to 3 logs. There is one or two logs from the girl that's fighting alongside Slate, who's like the daughter of a general or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you get infusions each time. That's it.
Oh, okay.
I missed the first one because when it was like, tip your hat to the Vox Populi, there's another hat in the place that I went to and did nothing. So I was like, I guess I better leave and I'll find something later. But there's another hat in the other bathroom that's like glowing, and I just didn't notice it. I felt really stupid afterward.
There were a couple like the safes where you had to find enough lockpicks. Like, I'm not convinced there's enough lockpicks in this game for like certain points in the game for you to be able to unlock them.
Early on, you have to backtrack, but late in the game, I had like 30 lockpicks, I very rarely went below 25.
Early on, like the very first like two saves, I want to say there's not enough for all of them.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I had the DLC, which gave 5 extra lockpicks, and I still averaged out to 0, and I scoured the earth. Like, I was looking under couches and shit. Like, if there's an extra 5 lockpicks somewhere in there that I missed, I am terrible at this game. Yeah, in the end, it was absurd. I had, like, I think 30 extra lockpicks. I wasn't even picking them up anymore. I was just like, just unlock all the doors, Elizabeth. Just go ahead.
Yeah. Like, I would just tap F at everything, and she would just go do her thing.
Yeah, if there was anything about the game, they should have made a few of the logs that were off to the side. Because some of the logs, like, right in the forefront were kind of useless, but then the ones off to the side would be the big story.
Yeah.
They should have switched that up a bit. And also seriously explain the her influencing the tears more. Because, you know, playing through again, when she's like, yeah, it's a form of wish or something, I was like, well, that's kind of like, I didn't realize the extent it was wish fulfillment. I thought it was just like, there's stuff here that's convenient, not I am making an entire world based around my thoughts.
There was one audio log that, like, it was like, oh, they took my daughter. I need to go get her. They're holding her under the, like, under a bar or something, and the button's underneath the register. And I looked, like, the next 20 minutes looking at every register I could find to see if there was some button underneath there, and I couldn't figure out what the hell it was asking me to do.
Usually they're, like, different parts of the game.
Yeah, they mention the name of the bar. And
it was, like, the Old Salty or something.
Yeah, you find that past a fight and then down a hallway and then, like, two rooms later, you have to go back those two rooms, back across the hallway, down to this one lockpick door for a cafe or something, and then there's a giant glowing button beneath the register.
Huh. That's elaborate.
And the payoff for that is actually kind of funny.
There's one thing, like, when this game was first revealed and, like, the hype was building up, I was like, they clearly want you to fall in love with Elizabeth, and I think that's weird, and I don't think it's going to work. And the twist they got in it, where you're protecting her because you feel like her father, and you actually are her father, was I totally eat crow on that one. They made it work.
Yeah, and like they also, like, I was going in pessimistic, like, I don't want to have a weird waifu. But at the end of it, I was like, I will come back for Elizabeth. God damn it!
Yeah, that they make an emotional connection, and you're right, it is weird because they never sexualize Elizabeth at all. She is chaste, not chaste, but, you know, she's a strong character the entire time.
I'm like, just going to say her mother wears the corset a little bit differently.
Yeah, she does. But there was one analysis of the game where it may be that it's an escort game, but, like, Elizabeth is actually escorting you the entire time.
Yeah. She actually makes the game a little too easy.
At times she does. Like, every time you, like use a vending machine, she will give you more money, which is weird. I don't know why she does that. Like, give me the money before I use the vending machine, lady. What's wrong with you?
It would be one thing if the things she was finding were actually in the environment, but, like, literally you're just running low on health and she produces health and gives it to you.
Yeah. Which
it was really necessary when I was playing through hard, because there were a lot of dicey situations. Where I needed, like, I think she's more limited on the higher difficulties, because I only got, like, one health kit if I was, like, if it was like, 3 fights before I was down on health, she'd give me a health kit or some salts, but that would be, like, the only one she gave me that fight.
Let me tell you, before you find her on, like, 1999 mode, that game is freaking difficult, because you don't get jack. You are screwed. And, like, before you get, like, before the Robert and Rosalind give you the shield, like,
oh,
infusion.
God. Yeah.
That is impossible. I don't know. Jesus.
Even on hard, that first turret you find, like, when you only have the pistol.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not designed to take those things down with a goddamn pistol.
No, you have to use possession, and you have to hope, like, the rest of the guys kill that thing for you. Literally. That's the only way to do it.
Oh, I did it just by using possession and just, like, hauling ass past it.
Yeah.
The part of Comstock House where you don't have her was actually pretty difficult, because those enemies were pretty bullet spongy.
Yeah.
And also, I'm terrible at sneaking, so I ended up fighting all of them anyway.
I'm not even sure how you... I guess you can, like, move past his, like, cone of vision.
They're exactly turrets in Bioshock.
Yeah, and, like, I only got that to work out, like, once. And naturally,
really?
I was... Yeah, I only got to work it once. But then again, like, I'm terrible at video games.
There's an amazing part in Comstock House where when you open the warden's door, you turn around and that siren guy is behind you.
That asshole. To this day, I'm not sure if I killed him or not because I just spammed whatever gun I had. I don't know if he just vanishes after a while or he just died in, like, the reflex. But
it's a great idea if you're going to have, like, one jump scare, make it super late in the game where no one expects a jump scare anymore and just only have that one.
Because I was actually kind of disappointed that this doesn't have those Houdini splicer moments. You know, that's kind of disappointing. And then like 3 minutes later, that fucking siren guy just behind me.
Well, it reminds me of that time in Bioshock where in the medical pavilion and like occasionally it gets really foggy.
Yeah.
And like you're just poking around things and you turn around, there's a dude breathing down your neck.
Yep.
Right there.
Looking online at the videos of that part, I was like really disappointed because when I looked at it, it was like, open the warden's door. I turned around and that guy's directly in front of me. And I was like, oh. And he just kind of looked at me, and I was like, "All right." and I just seriously stared at him for something like 5 seconds, and I was like, "Well, I guess I better walk around you." And I like walked to his left, and I was like, "Okay, I can't do it." And I walked to his right, and then went boong, and then left. I was like, "Okay, that was awkward for both of us."
That whole part was actually kind of scary, like the silent boys with the George Washington heads, and
that creeped me out.
The Lincoln heads with the crossed out eyes.
That's kind of fucked up, like. But when you're running around, the weird thing, even though they're turrets, they look around kind of like semi-randomly. Mm-hmm. But if you wait for them to specifically look away, you can kind of like run really quick.
Because you've got like a second before they'll like home in on you.
Yeah, and they do that Bioshock 1 ticking sound, and they'll do whatever. But if you happen to pass all of them like I did, and then get into combat and like walk backward while shooting,
mm-hmm.
they don't give a shit if you're in the cone of vision or not. And they will activate like every single room you passed.
Awesome.
And that was an interesting part of the game.
I imagine, especially in hard. But that sequence there where like Elizabeth is captured and like they basically turn her into Comstock. On an intellectual level, I knew that, okay, there has to be a way around this. This can't be actually how the events play out. And like, and sure enough, like after a while, you're here to stop it. But that genuinely, they built so much emotion for Elizabeth. Like, I felt really awful about this whole sequence. I was, oh God, they just ruined Elizabeth. This whole beautiful thing about this kid is just ruined forever. And they just did an amazing job.
It so well in that making it like instead of having like a lobotomy or something.
Yeah.
Just wait until her hope breaks. Just like keeping her there just long enough.
I like how the idea is you're saving Elizabeth from becoming like Comstock, but basically throughout that game you've been making her like a Booker.
Yeah.
And the end result is an Elizabeth that's sort of like both of them.
Yeah, she was willing to do the horrible thing that Booker couldn't do. She's willing to make that decision that only Comstock could have made.
I think it's after you kill or don't kill Slate. That you're outside and you're talking about, she's like, I know what he said about wounded knee and stuff bothered you. And Booker's like, I don't want to talk about it. Unless you know I made it better. Elizabeth's like, no, I understand. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And I'm like, no. Don't learn that. wrong lesson. Go back.
Oh, too late. She learned the wrong lesson. Now she's going to drown you.
that was one of the, there were a lot of moments in that game. Like, you know, the very first one. We're just going into the chapel with all the water and stuff, and also going to the hall of the First Lady with like that giant blue light or the purple light with like Lacrimosa playing and stuff.
Yeah.
My favorite moment at Comstock House when you're looking at the door where Elizabeth is waiting through that like snowy hallway, it's like broken in half.
Yes.
It's like, that game is so gorgeous.
It is. Like
it's ridiculous.
With like the little lilacs like floating on the water when you're going through, just like all the little touches they put into this game.
It's like my wallpaper right now is a screenshot of at the end when you're at those piers and it's like sunset.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth just like sitting there looking out the distance. Like everything about that game, like not only is it beautiful, it's thematically striking to the point where it hits the exact emotions they want you to hit.
Yeah.
And it just shows what you can do when you're willing to have. You don't have to have an amazing art style. You don't have to have an amazing engine. If you just want to have an art style and just be committed to that art style. Dishonored was actually really good at that. They had a thematic art style, and it was amazing. If you're willing to not be this fucking like realistic, gritty thing that everyone else wants to be. It's like, it's not Call of Duty, it's not Tomb Raider, it's not Uncharted. It is its own thing, and it is gorgeous. And we will remember this for years when we forget all these look-alike games that are trying to mimic reality.
And also suggests so much stuff, like even at Capata Comstock House, when you just, the first few steps when you're taking on the bridge, even before you see like the giant statue of Elizabeth holding the sword and shit.
Yeah.
Like just looking at Comstock House with the snow around you, you just instantly know you're not just late, you're way too late.
Yeah. It's like, this is not good.
Yeah, it's just such an amazing game. I liked BioShock.
Yeah.
Like it was narratively, it was a really good game. I didn't enjoy playing it that much, but narratively it was strong, and I'm a big pusher of interactive fiction. Yeah. But this game, it stomps all over BioShock.
Yeah, like, it's not even no comparison.
Yeah,
it feels like the game that he wanted to make. And that said, I don't think he could get to this point if he didn't have BioShock under his belt. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Nobody would have funded this game.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, like, just in, like, for, the lessons he learned too.
Like that, and the amount of controversy in this game. I don't think anyone other than Ken Levine saying, you know, I made BioShock and it got you 12 million copies. Mm-hmm. You got to let me do what I do here.
And you know, 2K might be the only developer on earth with both the pockets to like fund this and the balls to fund this.
Yeah, like this and Spec Ops, like these are two games that really do something amazing with their narrative.
I want to know more about how Infinite got made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably an amazing book there.
You know, I kind of wonder, like, maybe I'm thinking too deep into this, but all the stuff they showed that was cut, like the concept that kind of looked like you, the badass Elizabeth, that her getting killed thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all just one huge meta commentary.
Could be.
Like all of this stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah. It could be just alternate universes. Because like that first trailer where like it opens up inside that fish tank, nothing there happened. Like Columbia is still there, but everything else is different. Like you, the handyman was the big guy in that. Not the songbird.
Yeah.
Elizabeth looks completely different. All of it.
She looks like one of the Elizabeths that were at the final
drawing. That was a neat little nod that they did there. They introduced her there. Were you guys, because the thing that people were kind of upset about this game was that Elizabeth, in the, like, the pre-release stuff, Elizabeth was kind of sexualized with that big corset she had on and the whole thing, like where her boobs were hanging out. And like when you first meet her, like after they changed the art style quite dramatically, it seemed, where she was like wearing this prim and proper like outfit that you would expect a girl from that area to wear. And like halfway through the game, she switches to that outfit. She like finally finds her mom's like clothes and basically puts those on. I thought the game handled that well. I don't know. I'm kind of curious what you guys thought about that.
I thought it was perfect. I thought the way they handled it was fine. And to the point where it was sexualized when she did it.
Yeah.
But it icked me out, which I think was the intention.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, go back to you're a little girl.
She can't. She couldn't anymore. She was past that point. Yeah. She cut her hair
it was a nice growing up moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like in Japan, that's their big symbolism. When you cut your hair, you're leaving your past behind. You're someone new.
That's kind of cool. I wonder if that was an intentional there.
It is a female baptism, essentially.
It's kind of cool.
My problem with that moment was that her first model had such a better face.
Yeah.
And the second, and I was really distracted. I was like, didn't she used to look nicer?
Yeah.
My only issue with Elizabeth is that, like, they made it so she'll wander around on her own and she gets kind of weirded out if you're looking at her too long. But it's also, like, when you're trying to get her into frame, she's just bolting out, like, just the idea of you looking at her is weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, she, like, you're literally like the only person she's seen since she was 8. So yeah, she's kind of weirded out by all this.
All right. So we're in an hour. Is there anything like that we desperately want to talk about, or otherwise we'll just,
I think we pretty much like gushed that all we can. And it's like, I'm sure we could sit here and like talk about the things we didn't like about it, but that would be like kind of negative. Like there was
we talked about the save system, and that was the big thing.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was the mechanical stuff. And, like, at the end of the day, it topped out, like, maybe an above-average, like, video game. But everything else around that just completely blows everything else out of
the water. I think all the Chenglin stuff was just, it was fucking boring.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was handled really badly. I liked the audition for Fink.
Yeah, that was good.
Stuff around it.
Like a lot of things in Think Town I liked, but like, yeah, you're right. That whole sequence did seem a little bit like busy work.
It felt like it was like vestigial stuff that they was in a prior version of the game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now we'll just go to the equipment. Okay, it's not here. Yeah. New tear.
Yeah. So what did we actually do? We didn't actually like move this gun equipment anywhere. It's still there in a different universe. So not sure exactly what we did, but okay. Fine, now it's Lemiz. Okay, let's get out of here.
There were so many things that could have played up, like the way that instead of just, you know, getting to the airship, they're kind of getting in over their heads by trying to get to the airship. Like, okay, let's open one tail, let's open a second tail, let's open a third tail, let's open a, you know, just...
And like, it would have been great, like...
fucking up things even more.
If Elizabeth had been telling Booker, like, oh, this is such a crazy thing, we can get to an airship some other way, and he would be stubbornly going through with this.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a lot better, but instead she's like, okay, we're whatever, you're the boss.
Which, yeah, that kind of makes sense considering what she had been through. Like, she was going to let people just push her around, basically, because she was a kid. So, sure.
I think one thing that I wish they would have done is that they should have never said Booker DeWitt is a voice character. He should have been completely silent up until the minute he meets Elizabeth. Then he should have started talking. Because a lot of the stuff he says to himself is stupid.
Do you think that...
I'm sit in this fancy chair.
Yeah, that's like the main thing. Like, nobody says that out loud.
Sometimes it's people talk to themselves.
They're not going to sit like, well, I mean, it just comes off hokey.
It's the only thing you can do at that point. So it's kind of like, it's not like they're trying to direct me. Like when Elizabeth's like, hey Booker, we can go to the police station or we can go to this bar.
It's
on the nose, but it's like, at least there's options. Yeah. When Booker's talking, it's like, that's the only thing you can do.
Well, yeah. I understand that it's a video gamey sort of thing. If the choice is between Booker saying it or like a little drop down thing comes says sit in the fucking chair, I prefer that Booker would say it because it.
But I mean, that's not really the option because the chair's the only thing there. And everyone who's played a video game knows, hey, this chair just opened up. I should go to it.
Also, it's worth mentioning, and we should have mentioned this on the non-spoiler cast, best tutorial ever.
Yeah, like I've been exposing this tutorial for everyone because it's literally the smartest tutorial I've ever seen.
This and Portal are the only games that made me feel like I wasn't playing a tutorial.
Me feel like I wasn't. Yeah, I was having fun, and I didn't even realize I was playing a tutorial until like halfway through.
It was like, oh yeah, this funny little devil guy. I'm just gonna keep bouncing up. Ha ha ha!
And you actually reward it if you do well in the tutorial. You actually get coins. It's like that.
You get money.
Great. Yeah.
All right, so we'll close on this, guys. What are your favorite moments? How about we start with you, Mark?
Just when she finally starts asserting herself, when she opens up that tear into Kansas, and then later on you tell her that, no, I'm gonna fucking kill Comstock. No, you don't. You tell her that you're not gonna kill Comstock, and she says, what the fuck are you gonna do? And behind her, like, the tornado opens up, and he said, no, I'm gonna do it for you. It's like, so that she's finally asserting herself, she's taking control of the situation.
How about you, George?
Cute moment-wise, my favorite moment in the game is when Booker's like, well, I guess he's grooming you to be exactly like him, and she goes, well, I want a puppy, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's great. That was awesome.
And my favorite story one is definitely the old Elizabeth reaching her hand down to you in that fucked up hallway.
Yes.
It's like, no, shit's done.
Yeah, and like you can just kind of, like when you see the silhouette, you say, okay, maybe that's young Elizabeth, maybe with just like different hair, but you can just kind of make out her face enough to see the lines in it, and then like you finally get a good view and you realize exactly what's happened.
Even before that reveal, it's amazing, like just with the silhouette, they like articulate how much she's given up, both on her own views that she had as a crazy person and her old Elizabeth views.
Yeah.
I love how she was standing above you, so it kind of still symbolizes she's still stuck in that tower.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So much though, symbolism.
My favorite moment is actually directly after that, where you get the actual visual of her in like New York burning. Because like you'll understand this, George, that it made me feel a lot like the Zero Escape series. Like, there was a similar twist there. And like, I was flabbergasted at that point. Like, I, the whole dungeon was building up to that one moment, and it wasn't a twist, but it was, because you saw it coming.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, Jesus, this is really happening, isn't it?
That's what most games fail to do, and that 99 also did this, so I think it was what you're mentioning, is that there's a moment in the game where what you have to do and what you're doing meet up. And in those games, it's such a powerful moment because you're finally doing this thing. But in most games, it's like, oh, I'm just doing this thing. I'm fighting this boss. But in those games, it's like this monumentous occasion.
So what you're saying is I need to play 999.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. It's when I not to get spoiler, but you know, going on Bombcast, I was listening. I was convinced because the guy was saying like, "Oh, the endings are okay. This is a game." And he got the final ending, and he was like, "This is the fucking best game ever." And I was like, "How can that happen?" And the entire game, I'm playing it, I'm like, "I mean, this is a good game, but it's just good." And then I got the final ending, and I was like, "I understand. I can see forever."
It's that culmination moment. Like that, BioShock has it too. That moment where everything just comes together, and even if it has to be spoon-fed to you, you still understand it as if you came to it yourself.
They both have that moment where, after it's spoon-fed to you, you realize they've been trying to tell you all along, and you just didn't look for the right things.
The enormity of it all just kind of, like when I finished BioShock Infinite, I stood there like I had nothing to say.
Yeah,
one of the like two games where I've willingly sat through the credits.
Yeah, I couldn't because I shift tabbed and like it skipped through.
Oh my god, there is, first off, their version of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Like, there better be a CD of all these old timey songs that are like licensed or covers or whatever, because holy shit, it is perfect.
Yeah.
But that's when they finally, at first I was upset they didn't have the full version of Will a Circle Be Unbroken playing directly after the credits, but they actually have a really cute video of their voice actors performing it. And Ken Levine just being like, "You two guys are awesome." He's seriously just hovering around them going like, "You're so cool."
Honestly, like I said before, probably my game of the year.
Yep.
I pray something beats it because I want that again.
Yeah.
Without hyperbole, if I went through and listed like first-person shooter as something that has to involve shooting, so no Portal, no whatever, this is easily my favorite first-person shooter ever made.
Yeah,
like I can't say that right now because it's too soon. It's like one of those things where like have to sit back a couple months and like, because you know you don't know like if this is just emotion or whatever. But right now, like this and Half-Life 2 are like 1, 2, maybe Shadow of the Colossus number 3, but that's it. That's the list.
But all I think this is there's no way you're happy with the ending of Half-Life 2. Like with no other games, there's points where it's like. Like this middle has kind of a dull thing, but a lot of stories, their moment of building up to the big thing is always going to be the most boring thing. Like even Shakespeare, there's always that moment where like, why am I reading this? Which so the moments that count, BioShock hits as hard as it can.
Yeah, its highs are amazing.
BioShock left me happy with the experience, like more than happy, but more like. As far as this generation goes, it is the single-player FPS that it shows that there's a market for this. You don't need to be Modern Warfare. You don't need to focus on your multiplayer. If you are half the video game developer you think you are, you need to absolutely try to emulate BioShock's. Not the idea, but the spirit.
Yeah.
Also, throwing this out there, maybe hard release dates are a bad thing.
Maybe.
Who knows?
All right, so we're going to wrap this up.
Yep. All right, this is your BioShock spoiler cast. We'll probably start... We'll be discussing this, I'm sure, more on Free to Play in the next coming weeks as more people finish it. I don't know if Brian started playing it yet.
Needs to.
We probably won't discuss story so much as mechanics and things, and then at some point, like next year, we'll probably start discussing story like crazy.
It should be noted that the three guys who were single without kids were the ones able to beat the game. So,
I wonder if I wonder if things are going to try emulating it.
I think we're going to see some BioShock inspired thing soon. Like maybe not this generation, but like within the next 2 years, I'm sure there's going to be. Like something that like, oh, I see exactly where they're going with this.
So it could be like the Uncharted 2 style turning point.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Guys, thank you for joining me for this.
Thanks for having us. Yep. All right. Talk to y'all later.
Bye.